I think we can go ahead and get started. It's 7:01. Good morning.
Good morning.
Bright, chippy, cheery morning. Why don't we now go to Recreation ARPA grant?
Bill Novotny and I turned this in for in the tune of $569,998 with a match of in-kind of $17,000 in traffic control and site preparation. So, you know, no guarantee on this, but it's for the rotomill and new asphalt on the trail Highway 16 in conjunction with YDOT. They really don't do trails anymore and really want not to have this one. So, yeah, they're looking forward to doing some MOU or something like that with us so that they can have it off of their books and onto us. But this is, that trail was done in 1984, and it's got tripping hazards, and, I mean, it's held up.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm like, what if we get that much mileage out of it again?
Or is it just not?
But, you know, hopefully we'll keep our fingers crossed. And so this resolution is up before us tonight. And maybe the grant guys will be with us, help us out with that.
Okay. Thanks for working on that.
Yeah, thank you.
And Bill said he would do traffic control.
Personally?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did.
He might have mentioned.
I'm not sure if any of us want to go out and stand in front of traffic.
Come up.
Johnson County All Hazards Recovery Plan.
So there's two plans that have been circulated to you. We will need to adopt and approve our portion of this plan. Well, the county is adopting it. Town of Casey already has. And Marilyn will be here tonight to ask us to sign this and adopt it.
Oh, yeah. Dennis, I think you looked at him, right?
I did. Like, Cindy, Julian. Mm-hmm. I think I sent you an email.
Yeah. Nothing sticks out. I think it's kind of the same thing.
I think it was the same as previous years.
I know Terry and I weighed in, gave our edits for our portion of it.
Yep.
And I'm sure Gomer's had to be part of it too.
Everything to do with recovery.
Let it burn.
Less recovery then.
The Buffalo Fire Department has never had a fire that hasn't eventually gone out.
Exactly.
Major capital construction project updates.
Well, I guess first of all, I'd just like to thank everybody for showing up to the YDOT meeting. That's good showing on the city part, so thanks for that. A lot of good information that meeting. And so the Sunset Project, we've got a pre-bid meeting on that on Thursday at 2 o'clock, and then we'll open the bids on the 15th, which is also Thursday at 2 o'clock. And the meter replacement, it's still on track, scheduled for end of March, first of April. Don't have an exact start date yet, but that's what they're shooting for. So, I guess that's pretty much it on the major project stuff that I have.
I was supposed to meet with Commissioner Shelley last Tuesday. Unfortunately, his plans changed, so we need to reschedule to meet with him on that. He stopped in briefly a couple days later, and he's just trying. trying to figure out how to move forward on the Richardson Park stuff. And we'll go over parking ideas, so if anybody has any parking ideas around town during the construction, that would be awesome.
Well, that lot behind 4th and Main, I thought we were, I guess, could we go talk to the contractor or something?
As far as doing something with that?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's still a plan to do. I think one thing is we were kind of waiting, didn't see a whole lot of point in doing a lot with it if they're using, going to use it for staging area or something through the Main Street project, and then maybe wait until they're done and then do it. But yeah, I think that's still the intention.
I see they're fixing up the apartment above that 4th and Main. Do they have to put a fire escape in there?
Yeah, and that's what they're doing. It's gonna, they got to sprinkler the whole building, actually. Anytime you put a residential above a commercial, you've got to sprinkler it now, so per code. So it's actually, right now, it's not really an apartment. There, I mean, never really was. There's a makeshift bathroom up there. And maybe they were sleeping on mattresses on the floor at one time, I don't know. But yeah, to bring it up, they got to cut a fire escape out the back and have an exit to the outside from up there.
Mm-hmm. That's probably going to park in the back there. And it's going to take another space there. I don't know what you can do about it.
I don't either. If it's public parking, I don't know what we could do about it.
See what I'm saying? How many units are going to go in?
Just one.
Just one.
Yeah.
Could be a couple cars.
Yeah, three.
You get neighbors.
Well, yeah, it's...
I can't imagine the cost to do that.
I don't know.
But that building would even be...
Yeah. But, and they have actually got to come to planning and zoning this month to get a special use to do a residential in a B3, a new residential in a B3, so they're kind of jumping the gun, but they think it's all going to go well, so they're starting in on it. So,
I think if we could do that lot behind 4th on Main into parking, it would go towards a lot of goodwill for our downtown people. And it's close, it's flat, you know. It's,
yeah, I think...
We wouldn't need transportation.
Yeah, bus building.
And walking distance.
Yeah.
A half a block, yeah. Or less for walking distance.
A hard, healthy block.
I think the one thing we need to decide is which direction we're going to go with that parking lot, if we were going to actually pave it, concrete, or do rubber mill chip seal. I think that was one question that we had, too, on that. But
what's your recommendation on that?
Well, the rubber mill and the chip seal would by far be the cheapest, but depending on how we're looking at what we're making everybody else do. Do we need to go with a hard surface, asphalt, or concrete? I think we got a bid. It's like $50,000 for asphalt or concrete. They were about the same. I think the chip seal or mill would be considerably cheaper than that. So, but that's another question for that.
But I mean, I think we should, in my opinion, keep up to our own standards.
I guess we don't have any long-term plan for that. Is our long-term plan for parking, if we pave it for more money, then yeah, there for 50 years, or we just keep it for parking forever. If we have options of changing the near future, we don't want to spend 50 grand and then tear it out. That's what, that's kind of my thinking is, I don't know. We never have really identified what to use that for besides parking right now.
Well, we don't have to decide today.
Rotomill and chip seal is still, that's still a hard surface, but that doesn't match the wording of the ordinance. Or,
unless we're going to change the ordinance for everyone on something like that.
Be an option too, I guess, to look at.
Okay. Yes, ma'am, quick.
The 1% allocation, you guys typically pass a resolution. I had circulated it to you at one point. I didn't really get a number, but I did hear from the commissioners that they're actually going to set theirs at the next meeting on the 20th, so I think we should probably wait until the 20th. It gives you a little more time to think about your number. I think that's all I have.
I think on that, I think we need to, I mean, I sent out an email. I think we need to try and hold it. Mm-hmm. What we've done in the past, I get excited. My thought on that. Archie Cameron.
That's you.
Oh, excuse me. Checking on that. Evidently. I don't have anything unless you had any questions on last year's fire calls.
I think they're down.
Down considerably.
And this is your expertise, but I've been reading articles that even the snowpack that we've gotten that has less, the word I can't even bear to say out loud, moisture, I can't stand that. In it than other years, is it for me to be concerned about it?
Oh, absolutely. It's dry as heck. County's out on grass fire last week. Mm-hmm. You know, last year's grass, there was so much of it that it's sticking up, just wanting something to happen to it.
Do you guys have everything that you guys need for equipment type stuff?
Yeah, we've got enough gear, and we've got our little truck and our old truck, and you know, it's luckily it doesn't affect us hugely, even that mess up at Clear Creek. You know, that's the BLM county us to an extent, but that's generally kind of a fed county state thing. Is it takes off because it threatens everybody. So for what we do, I mean, some years it'd been nice if we had people enough to have two or three more trucks, but generally speaking, we don't.
You, Chief?
I don't really have much. We did attend a meeting, was it a week and a half ago, for the Rocky Mountain Communication, talking about our towers and the state of repair they're in, or disrepair, I should say, to the point where they're actually purchasing parts off of eBay. So the system's 20 years old, so they're going to be, they got a quote, and that quote was for $274,000 to basically upgrade all the existing towers that we have, so replacement of radios. All the infrastructure is good, it just looks like they're going to have to replace just the radios and some antennas and whatnot, but I don't know if they come to you guys yet, but I'm assuming they're talking about that being a cost split seven ways or eight ways, and kind of how that is happening. I guess the MOU is, what, 14 years old, they said? Is that right?
Yeah, something like that. Is
about the what we do now, so we all pitch in right now for maintenance agreements, which is part of that communications budget line, so I think we need to kind of figure out how that's, reach out to maybe Marilyn or Jimmy, the new EMC. I don't know what kind of funds they're looking to try to get that funded, whether it's E911 grants or whatnot, but it's definitely, it needs to happen, so that's kind of on the radar as far as the as that goes with our radio system.
So going forward, are we going to look at it a little more frequently than 14 years or 20 years?
So the new, I asked that question about the longevity of the new system, and they said it should be up and running, and everything is now is plug and play. So they were actually talking about building another tower down on Tisdale. That's what they call it, the Tisdale
Well.
Yeah, which would give more coverage to some of the spots that have a bunch of dead zones down there. The good thing is, once the new system comes in, it's just basically, like I said, a plug and play. It's up and running. If one tower goes down, it doesn't affect any of the other towers. Whenever you are driving, it automatically connects to the tower that has the best frequency, I guess, for these terms. But, so that's probably going to be coming down the pike, so just to keep that in the back of your heads that they're going to be looking to upgrade that system.
They have $120,000 now towards this. I'm guessing that they're going to put in probably for some 1% money and try to get more and visit with the commissioners how they want to split this up. There's some here and there on it. PD and fire goes off of this tower here behind the Criminal Justice Center, but it's all part of the same system. You know, just because we aren't using those computers up there doesn't mean we aren't tied into the system. And the other thing, and I don't know if you did any legwork on that, is they're talking about going digital, which would be wonderful. It's sharp and clear. That might alleviate some of our narrowband. When the government made us narrowband, we lost a bunch of radio coverage. And he, what I know about this is Zilch, but he said going digital would pick some of that back up for handhelds mostly. We don't know if the console will take it.
So now that
dispatch.
Right, for us now, those consoles have some age on them, dispatch.
It's just how old is consoles?
Well, how old is the CJC? They said that they thought they were new when the CJC was built. So it's like, well,
we replaced them once, didn't we?
Years ago,
I think we paid it. If I remember right, we paid 1% to replace them with the county.
I think, that was one console out of the three, I think.
Yeah,
is that right?
Maybe we added a console.
Yeah, because we had three stations. Mm-hmm. So I got to do some digging on that, but we got to make sure that those count. I don't know if the consoles that we have now would allow us to go digital on that. So that's more searching into grant money and funding for those things because they're not going to be cheap. So.
And the paging is stay analog because digital paging, we haven't gotten that far yet. As far as, I mean, my God, we'd all be buying new pagers and it'd be a problem. And it's the analog part of paging is not near as important as the digital part of it. I don't know whether you guys heard how clear and crisp Wildlink is when you could get it.
Yeah, when you can get it.
That's a digital system. Yeah. It's pretty nice.
It's nice. Yeah. Which we did do like a 2-week trial. We went to Wildlink just to see, but it had its, just like anything, it had its pros, but also had a lot of cons. And so we have to make sure that whatever we go to, everybody's on the same page. And so.
And if they do go digital, we've got a handful of radios that won't go digital. The majority of them I can switch over, but those little ones like you and I carry, and they're too old.
There goes your fire truck.
Well, there'll be one in it.
Is there time into the upgrade such that we can do this during budget cycle and we can approve it during
for this upcoming cycle?
Yeah, for this upcoming
rate upgrade. I guess that is trying to get all the entities together.
If everybody
agree on something.
A lot of them have on the same fiscal year. If we could budget it for next fiscal year, it'd be simpler than budget.
Right. It's a matter of we are one lightning strike away from.
Yeah.
And the availability of him being able to get all this stuff, this is very preliminary. You know, he was there. What he got at this meeting was permission to start looking. So it's like everything else, trying to get in. It may be a year, maybe 6 months. Who knows?
We may have some incredible long lead times. We need to order it now and pay for it in a year like the trucks.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah, and it sounded like the project wouldn't take, once they have everything they need, he said it sounded like it was a pretty quick turnaround from the time he got the equipment and getting hooked up and things replaced and access, of course, weather, right, that's going to happen. So far, so good. But yeah, so I think you're right. I think we're getting everybody together at the table and coming up with a plan. And like Omer said, you know, there's some folks like the hospitals as well, we don't really use it, so why should we pay an eighth or if it's 7th or whatever that is now, and so I don't know. There's gonna be some coming together, and then figuring out where those funds are gonna come from. Was 120? Was it they have?
Ready? They got 120, and I'm not sure. I think that they're gonna put in for some 1%. My guess would be we're gonna end up
because I'm going to bump that 274 up there to 300.
Mm-hmm.
So my guess would be that we're probably coming up about 150 short on the whole thing, that all the entities will have to figure out a way to come up with, which it, you know, shouldn't be that hard. This is a fairly important.
And they looked at it with Tisdale, the new system, if they decide not, because of money, to build that new tower site on Tisdale, that if they do that next year, the following year, everything is, all it's a matter of just building the site, and it'll just fit right in, it'll just flow right in, like a plug and play. So everything will be compatible, you know. If we don't go digital and we do end up upgrading our consoles, everything will just be ready to rock and roll. So, I mean, it's a, I mean, the original meeting that we had, they were talking like $1 million. So for this thing to, I mean, that's a pretty good price for what we need, and I mean, the importance of it is, that's everything. So that's all I have.
I guess I'll say a little bit about Red Lodge. We went down to Red Lodge County City kind of housing group that we formed to visit with the foundation they have down there for housing. It's kind of a community foundation. So they have fundraisers and collect money for housing projects. So we want to take a look at what they're doing. We visited a few of their sites. That's several homes right now under construction. So we took a look at all that. They also started a urban renewal district, which tax money, they've got it worked out. It's kind of funny because not everything they do is going to work for us because of the laws, Wyoming laws, Montana laws. So they're doing some things that we probably couldn't do with this urban renewal district, where they take taxes from the new thing they're doing to put towards a district in town that needs to be renewed type of deal, kind of revive a part of the city. And those taxes for so long, I think 15 years, go dedicated to that renewal project. So that was interesting. I think what we came out with is we need to start with, we're putting together a 501c, this housing group. They're probably called the Johnson County Community Foundation. Barry Crago's helping get that paperwork up and going to file for that. And so that way we can start having somewhere to put the money and do fundraising and collect stuff. So ultimately just start small fundraisers, get some money in that in account, and then hopefully in the future, you know, this Red Lodge thing's been around, I think, 25 years, Scott, is what they said. So
yeah, it's quite a while.
They've been there for a while, so they're doing good, but it's going to take some time and effort to get something like that going. But I think we came back and we've decided that's the thing is get it going. I mean, there's no, if you wait around, nothing's going to happen. I think this kind of less involvement from the government, both sides, this group can be its own foundation, you know, and they don't have to wait on government, and they can get going with their own fundraisers and start doing stuff like that. So, and then hopefully in the future, you know, when I talk in the Red Lodge, the big thing I saw was money and land. And so, and they go hand in hand. So, the project they were on, actually all the land was donated. And so, that's a big chunk of it and how you get going. So, but this group, I think, we're going to put together a board. Right now, we're just kind of a makeshift, panel of people, but they're going to actually put together a board. And then maybe some, steering committees underneath that. But the biggest thing is getting it filed and getting it going. So that is our next goal there. So.
Who had donated the land?
I think it was private donors that had done that up there that had owned it. It wasn't city or county or government. It was kind of all privately donated, I believe. But, you know, once you get up and running, I know they said they'd done some fundraisers, one of them being a color run, and I guess from what they'd said, they raised about $300,000 a year off of one one color run.
How much does our color run raise? Whether my food pantry.
300?
Yeah, I don't know. I was impressed by that. But, you know, a lot of that has to do is because they've been there so long, and they had a lot of the not in my backyard, a lot of pushback at first, and now people are seeing some of the results, and now people are going, I want to help, I want to donate, I want to, and so every year it kind of grows and grows and grows. And Yeah, so they've got a couple of fundraisers that are really, they can fund a lot of projects off of one fundraiser, it sounds like. Awesome. So that's, we're gonna get going on something like that, get our foundation put together and some board members, and hopefully see some results within a few years. So. Other than that, I was just kind of want to get with, we got a lot of, between Chief, me, and Kevin, of these campers on the roads and cars in yards, and maybe at some point we just sit down and say, I think they're saying, I get a lot of, well, the police told me this, and I'm saying this, and, you know, there's some confusion on between the three. I think that's just because there's some other ordinances in the zoning that maybe PD don't particularly know about. So at some point, I'd just like maybe sit down with you guys and make sure we're all on the same page so we're not conflicting on what we're telling the public and on that. So at some point, if you guys want to do that, we can set up something and just take a look at that.
Sure.
Okay. That's all I got, unless you guys got any questions.
Would it be worth it to put a little ad in the paper that just kind of expresses that ordinance? You know, education of what's allowable or acceptable.
I think so. I think maybe we sit down first, make sure we're all in agreement, we're all reading it the same and understand the same, and then, sure, I think we could do that. Makes sense. Get it all out at once so everybody knows we're...
And that probably one of those things, that's a revolving reminder, because you don't know what you don't know.
Yep, I agree. Yeah, that's a good idea.
So we had a couple of small water leaks after we come out of the deep freeze. Nothing too serious. One was an air vac that froze when it was cold, and then when it thawed out, it broke open. Not a huge deal. And then a small leak over on North Carrington, a 4-inch line. But, so all in all, I'd say we fared fairly well through all that. And we, I guess, gone from putting sand on the streets with the warm-up to sweeping it up now. Going with the seasons, I guess, whatever season this is. Picking it up season.
Second winter?
Something like that. Crew's been trimming some trees in the park. Still frozen enough that we can get in there and not damage ground. So doing that and fixing a few potholes here and there.
Except this week, because nobody can
play. Yeah, except this week.
It's strange to see pothole fixing in February.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or rain.
Yeah. I was back in Maryland there for a second. I came out of a basketball game on Saturday. It was cold rain. What was going on?
Lots of rain. Lots of rain.
Not to be the Debbie Downer here, but or the Donnie Downer, whatever, the they Downer. But the Wells project is, I think we'll have to make a decision on the Wells project is, it's about $1 million on.
Yeah, a million plus a little bit.
To finish it up.
Yeah. And then, you know, I guess I discussed this with Dennis a little bit. You know, if we're pulling money from somewhere, if that's what we actually want to spend it on right now, I mean, if we've got it, is that the best use of it right now? I mean, how bad do we need these? I mean, it's a good project. It's something that needs to be done, but... is it what we want to spend that on right now?
Can you remind me, Kevin, just like what all that project encompasses and what it will provide the city after it is completed?
So there's 7 wells up there that I think we originally drilled 9, tested them out. We wound up completing 7 of them. And so when those wells are all with pumps in them, put into production, they will feed into the water plant and basically... I think the number is like about 1,800 gallons a minute with all of them, which will you know, if they're all running, which would be an ample emergency water supply source.
Gotcha. But emergency on the day.
Pretty much that, yeah. That's okay. What it wouldn't be, you know, I mean, we would run it to exercise it to keep everything up, and but it wouldn't be stable. It wouldn't be something.
Not an additional water running.
Right.
It's the replacement or one or the other.
It would be, yeah. So with that being said, it would also mean that we would have the same water right on those water wells as we do on our creek water, so that in an emergency situation, we could still, you know, use that water. Otherwise it would be a new water right, basically. So
what happens now if we have an emergency?
Well, right now, if we have an emergency, like we when we have that contamination up there, basically we shut the headgate off so the water quits flowing into our ponds. So basically we are pulling out of those ponds and diverting the contaminated water on by. So we do have an emergency supply for a while. So it's not like we are without.
And the water tanks probably would last a day or
and
two,
we have
maybe
water tanks,
and probably
yeah,
a couple days in winter and a half a day in the summer.
And you know, you go in, if that's the situation, you go into emergency regulation of water, then that changes how long stuff would last too. So.
And we can always pull water in if needed.
That's an option. It's an expensive option, but it is an option.
Okay, along with that, I think we have to look at whether this is an enterprise that we're cash flowing on. In other words, something like water, we should be having our rates high enough that we don't have to ask questions about working with GoFind a grant for it or something like that. You know, that we're giving our water away, and we're also encouraging water use, because if you look at the bills, the highest priced water you buy is the first part. And if you're a big user and can waste a lot of it, you get a quantity discount. You know, and that's just, I think I've had a problem with that for 20 some years, as long as I've been here anyway. And, you know, we're not addressing any peak load, and this is what we're talking about here. If we get to a point where our water usage is not raising enough revenue to keep these things, you know, solvent, we're not making a very wise decision. There's no reason, you know, why we should not have a fully cost-effective water rate system, so that we don't have these arguments about, well, we gotta go find and get some free money from somebody. That's my opinion. I'm sticking to it. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, the only question I have on that is, do we risk not getting the state funding for the wells project if we don't complete it, that 66% match or whatever they... That's the only thing they're paying quite a bit, but our match went from, or instead of paying 30%, now we're paying 60% over the overall project. Took so long.
It ended up more like a 50-50 match kind of deal.
Yeah.
It's what it ended up closer to, I mean.
Yeah.
So, yeah, by not doing it, I mean, we would be giving that money back that we still have.
Probably not cost effective to do half of it. You can do it, you want to do them all, because they're far enough apart. It's there's no way to phase it.
It's not going to make it any less expensive.
No.
To prolong it.
It's going to cost more down the road.
Yeah, because then you're starting all over again.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Easy to do it one time.
George Jones, we've got choices. Anything else?
So where would that money come out of, the general fund, out of the water and sewer fund, or
water?
Water reserves, I think, have enough in there.
Yeah, and I guess with that being said, and it's not another thing that I'm just going to throw this out there. It's coming up. I've got infrastructure that's also going to need maintenance coming down the road. I mean, got a water tank up there that basically looking at a $600,000 bill to repair it. I mean, it's not going to fall apart tomorrow by any means, but it's something that we need to keep in mind.
That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. This shouldn't be a deal where we have to sit and study how we're going to pay for this, or we have to wait for some kind of a government grant to bail us out and that kind of thing. I wish, I don't know, maybe, is there a summary document that you can come up with on how much reserve we have for these kind of things in the water department? And, you know, from an enterprise standpoint, I just want, like, to know how many thousands of dollars we're short when the revenue comes in compared to the long-term costs. Okay. Doesn't have to be a long, detailed thing, but I don't know which numbers are the right ones or the universal ones that we can go to without having to figure out how to find somebody to pay for it.
Dennis, anything from
Well, the only thing that I had was the Bozeman Street project. We still have a dispute with the contractor. She's been sending emails out about a meeting. We sent invoices for, they sent invoices, what was it? They sent invoices for certain work on the project, which we thought was warranty work. And we just got a response this week, a detailed response finally, as to why they said it was not. And I haven't met with Brent yet. We're going to set up a meeting with Brent and Larry Jubert. It's $7,900 that they're demanding.
How big was the project to start with?
I have no idea.
Yeah, what was it down there? It was a
couple hundred thousand.
I'd say half a million. 500,000.
Yeah. I guess Dave Kinski's coming tonight to talk about these water wells.
Well, he's going to give a legislative update. I don't know if we got into the bill, you know, they were trying to throw this project in there for some of that ARPA funding. We can ask about that. He will be here tonight. Along with Buffalo Youth Baseball for an annual update, and Maryland for the All Hazards Recovery Plan, and this resolution for the Outdoor Recreation Grant, and a mayor appointment of Adam Todd to the Lodging Tax Board.
This is Board Liaison and Council Updates, Vice Mayor.
Julie, could you just remind me our budget schedule that's coming up? And I know nothing's set in stone yet, but just give me a rundown of what that looks like.
So in the past, we ended up with 7 a.m. meetings, it seemed like. And I don't know if that works for council or if you want to move them. Kind of Tuesdays and Thursdays, anything, you know, we can make any days work. You guys can let me know. We usually start the end of February or end of March, that last week, and then we meet a couple times a week. But it takes about 7-8 meetings, and then you tell me, do you want to meet with all of the applicants for severance tax? The 1% committee will vet those that aren't city departments. So you guys will make the decision on the city departments, and then you'll probably meet with your department heads. We've done it different ways. They turn it in, you call them if we have questions, if it's pretty mm-hmm. self-explanatory, but if you want to meet with each one of, you know, the severance tax is about $100,000 and you have a 20-minute meeting with each one of the groups to give out $100,000, it's something that you can usually just read through and say, you get 10, you get 10, you get 10.
Thank you. Thank you.
I just a couple quick more things on the foundation for housing. Barry's goal was to have it, his goal was to have it done before he goes to the legislature next week, so at least he had the foundation documents prepared. And then there's also, I believe it's USDA funding, you can get up to $40,000 a year or something for administration. And so the foundation can actually hire somebody for administrative and bookkeeping with grant money and start off that way to have somebody to take care of the stuff so it's not falls on volunteer hands. That's the tough part, is trying to have a foundation when you can't really entrust volunteers to do some of the financing and stuff. That we need more expertise in that area, but it's moving forward, so I think that's all I had.
Councilman Mann?
Me?
Yep.
Yes. A couple items that we need to talk about, in my opinion. One is to establish some sort of protocol between the mayor and the councilman on these mitigation measures we're trying with people have junkyards in their yards and their residential locations. And we need to have some kind of a deal where when we have the inspector go out and finds a serious breach of what they're supposed to be doing as far as keeping it halfway decent lot, not using it for junkyard storage, we need to have an agreement among the rest of us, the council and the mayor, that we're going to stand behind that agreement. And the other thing is, how do we do that? The last thing we want to have happen is situations that might have happened in the past where a councilman is a good friend of the guy who's got the junkyard. He's all, don't worry about it, you know. We got to have to be in unison on this whole prospect of getting the neighborhoods cleaned up. Now, one way we can do that is to have the inspector come in and say, I've done this general street or this general area, and these three properties are the ones that are most clearly out of compliance with our statutes. And we can do that before he sends anything out or goes out there, so that you all know that it's coming. And we can't have somebody backing it up, or not backing it up, because they're an elected person. We don't want Terry to go out there and get a series of verbs and pronouns thrown at him for coming out here. So, something to think about. I think we should think about it. Spring is coming, it's probably not a good time to go out and clean a junkyard up on a residential lot in February and March, but we need to have some agreement where we all know ahead of time what's coming down the road and to support it. And if you, as a councilman or the mayor, drive by and look at it and say, oh God, this isn't so bad, and another one does that too, then we can say, well, all right, maybe we should just hold off on this one or make it a mild warning or something like that. That would work, but we can't have any more deals where
our city employees are not, we don't have somebody standing behind them on it. It's got to be supported. So I don't know, we can't solve this protocol system right now, but we need to be working on that. Another thing that came to mind, I went to the construction project, and you know, it was all pleasantly surprising to me that we're not don't have to worry about the grief of downtown area, but they are going to be doing some work next year, or this year, I should say. There's phase one, two, and three, and it has the first, that phase one is all the way from kind of where that mansion is up on South Main. It goes all the way to the south interchange, okay? That's the first one. You know, we've talked about the impacts that we expect from downtown, but we don't have any analogous. You know, I look at the map, and, you know, it looks like everything is workable. You know, we don't have any commercial businesses to speak of on most of that whole area there on phase one. However, we get to phase two, that's the south and north bypass. And there may be some businesses or some issues that we need to examine parallel to what we were talking about downtown. I don't see the severe parking problems and access to stores and all that, but it's in there. And then phase three is also a 2024 project. That's the road from, down here to Park Street, and it goes north all the way to the interchange up on, what do they call it, 163A or whatever it is. And there is some businesses, and not a lot, but some adjustments have to be made. But I can see that one can be mitigated from our traffic standpoint just by going to that next exit, coming out there by the on Hart Street. But anyway, along with that, I think this was a good thing. When they passed this hour, all of a sudden, the lights went on for people. And so, okay, that's what they're going to do. But I don't know how we get these kind of things out. Maybe we can get the journal or the bulletin to print up a piece of it or put the pictures of what we see here, you know. Or maybe we need to do something, and I don't know how we can get more of these things. I'm sure the YDOT would give us more of them. But I don't know if we should take it over to the chamber and have them say that they've got it, stop in and pick one up if you want. So what do you think?
I think it'd be cheaper to put a link to it so that we're not spending someone's money in paper and ink, so that you could just click on it, either our website, the chamber website. I'm sure that YDOT would allow us to digitize it, or they may give us a link.
I think you get a
PDF.
Well, that's another option, instead of having these pieces of paper up all over the place. Well, but there's some people who'd rather look at it than to try to tune in. Some old people, for example, may be handy with the internet.
So YDOT has been working with the chamber quite a bit through all of this process and all the public meetings that they've had. We've had some rotation in the chamber, so maybe it didn't get out to as many people, but they are also going to be emailing this to everybody, that, you know, the updated schedules. They've also asked to hold their meetings here at City Hall.
Oh.
We'll just have to work on a schedule because we have...
Okay. Well, it's already on its way, in the way it sounds.
Yeah.
Gilmore can pull it up on his flip phone.
Dang right. You know anything with that flip phone.
Thank God you got rid of the bag.
Like just walking around with a satchel.
He's got a flip phone.
You can get a digital bag phone.
You're not making fun of me, are you?
I think yours is better than his. I don't know.
Anything else, Kelson?
No, I'm good.
This will be some, probably looking down the barrel with some maintenance stuff up at Bomber Mountain. So, I know that smile, Mike. Yeah. It's a good thing. So, I'm sure the board will be asking for
money
coming forward. That's about all I have. The pool, full board will probably be gearing up next month or two, start having some meetings, getting ready for the next season. That's not happy for that. Now I'm assuming that they put in for that's a budget. Anything else from the table? Anything from the press or the public?
I do have something. So the tourism board was approached by someone to go and ask for 1% money to repair the statue out at the visitor center, which I believe is city property. So I wanted to talk to you guys about that. Apparently it's not in working order.
Are you talking the fountain or the statue?
The fountain. The fact that the water doesn't come out and into the fountain and that whole process. So I just wanted to approach you guys and see what you think, if we need to reach out and do the 1% request, or do you guys have a plan for repairing that fountain? Is it on anybody's radar?
Well, as it sits right now, all it needs is a pump. It's pretty hard to pump. That's what's wrong with it. To the tune of, I think they run around $1,500 for those pumps, and we've gone through a couple of year in it because it's a real harsh environment where that pump sits down in between the heat. If it's not flooding itself out, it's cooking itself. So it just had some problems with it. I mean, I don't know for sure what happened with the lot. I think one burned up in it and then it never got replaced again. It was towards the end of the season.
Is it worth keep putting pumps in it, or should we change it into a flower garden?
Hardscape wouldn't be a bad idea. Because all that pump does in there, I mean, it just circulates through that pond and squirts up through the hat, and so you got a lot of pump running there to do not much. Yeah, it's expensive to maintain the way it is.
So to clear up misunderstanding, at one point the lines had frozen.
They did at one time, but that's been repaired.
The way it was installed. But you have repaired that.
It was installed in such a way that there's no way to winterize it, really. It's built. It was designed for a area that never gets cold. It wasn't built for our climate. So had some challenges with that, and then early on, and then if it doesn't get winterized properly or gets water back in it, it can't even leak back in through the winter. But spring rains and stuff like that can get back into it.
But that has been fixed.
It has been fixed. Yeah, it's worked since then. So
just the pumps. So I don't know that you need a 1% application for $1,500 pump.
Depends on how many we go through in a year.
Exactly. And I guess I can't answer that. How many? I mean, I know what we've gone through, but or I guess the other thing is looking at doing something different with it, which
it was just brought to us that, it's nice to have that water feature, that's what it was set up for, but it doesn't ever seem to have water in it that is going through, so. So that's why I'm here.
I'd just like to add a couple of things. I did email, I think, pretty much everybody in the room. I was at the Wideout meeting, which I recorded, and there was a pretty good attendance in that room. But also, I know from my listener data that there were a lot of people that caught up online. as well, and it made me think that there's a real opportunity here to use the 307net Radio platform as a kind of one spot stop for everything on the YDOT Main Street construction project. And I visited for a while with Laura Dallas afterwards, who's their PR specialist, and she's very keen on that idea, and we're going to collaborate, and I will create some dedicated pages and so on, which will have links to all the relevant pieces to do with that project. And because it's digital and a web-based platform, I can respond and kind of update things, you know, very swiftly. I will cover the meetings that are going to be held so that people who can't make those meetings can listen to what's going on. And, you know, I just encourage anybody who's got anything they want to say, that I will be using that. I will be creating that as a place for people to go and just find out information about whatever it is they want, whether it's trees or which road is open or closed or what is happening or when the phasing is actually happening or when the work hours are or who you contact for, you know, a particular aspect of the project. So that will be coming online as the project comes online. There's obviously quite a bit of development to think about, and I think I need to spend some time with YDOT thinking about that. But just to let you know that will exist. And Councilman, I take your point that not everybody is internet sophisticated, but a lot of people are, and they're used to kind of going there and looking for that, for information in places like that. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention. Thank you.
We're running a PDF of the thing that they handed out at the meeting on our website, along with the story. So,
thank you. Sarah.
Anything else for the good of the order?
I assume our meeting this evening won't last